Episode 266, There's No Such Thing as Balance.
It's the David Triggs Show. This is the podcast where you can get spiritual power and personal development for everyday life. It's gozo for the whole family, jamba juice for the soul, your daily dose of gozo.
Well, everybody, and welcome to the Trigg Podcast of Joey and Gozo TV, where we are going gozo. What? The weather's got you down. It's raining today. Man, the bells in your car. The bells in your car? How about the brakes in your car? They don't even work anymore, bro. You're looking at your wallet at that wasteland wondering, man, what is going on? Don't worry, my dear Gozo friend. Gozo, by the way, means joy in Spanish. Let's spend the next few minutes talking about grace, talking about joy, talking about go, talking about Gozo today here in the Trigg Podcast of Joy, Gozo TV. I want to talk to you about balance and kind of some of the things that I've learned when it comes to trying to balance your schedule, balance your life, and pursuing this thing called balance in life. So here's the thing. Have you ever felt or heard maybe that you need to have a balanced life, a balanced diet, a balanced relationship, that there should be balance in your life, right? I mean, all of us, can you say Gozo Bell? Man, it's right there. But the longer that I live, I find that balance isn't really the point. The point is not to try to have everything in its place. I mean, we can just go nuts trying to do that. Instead, the goal is to find your goal and to live for your end goal. In other words, I believe that instead of looking for balance in life, we're supposed to actually pursue our end game, our goal, to get clear on what is it that you want, and then to actually schedule or arrange your life, your week, your day around the things that will help you accomplish your goals. Now, knowing that our goals will often change. So, and we'll get into, I have five tips that I want to give you on how to actually find a better way of living your life, better than trying to find balance. Because here's a problem with balance. Trying to find balance in life, it only sets you up for failure. It makes you one of two things: either stressed because you're not finding your balance, or stressed because you are trying too hard, or it's just simply too difficult to live a balanced life. I mean, how many people do you know, or maybe you yourself are this way, that are trying to, quote, balance work and life, right? You know, people talk about the work-life balance. But what do you do when you have to work 80 hours a week? So let me say, I'm not advocating that you just become a workaholic, or that if you maybe are more of an empath type, that you just stay home and ignore your responsibilities. I'm not talking about laziness or about ignoring life. What I am talking about is about avoiding that perfectionist attitude that creeps into most of us creatives and empaths that says, I have to be perfect. And so let me give you five tips and a verse that I think can help us live differently and pursue something better than balance, which I'm calling your end goal. So first, the verse, Philippians 1:6 is an amazing verse. It says, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. And I love that verse because it's saying, you know, Paul here is writing to his friends, this church in Philippi. He's saying, there are a lot of things that we could focus on, ton of things that you could do as a church. But the thing that I'm confident in most, more than my ability to preach or write letters, or more than you being perfect, or more than you following God perfectly, more than any of that stuff, I am confident of this one thing. And of course, we all want to say, well, what is that? What's the thing you're confident on? I mean, I want to know so I can be confident too. He says that God began something and he will finish it. Can you say, drops mic? That's the thing that Paul was confident on. That God is the author and the maker and the writer and the finisher of your story. So even though we all have responsibilities and we have personal accountability to things, your work, your life, etc., at the end of the day, you have to realize that God is the one who's actually going to carry out his dream for your life, or maybe if you want to put it this way, your dream for your life. And so with that said, I want to give you 5 tips on how to pursue more than balance in life, but to pursue actually focus and your end goal. Number one is to get clear on your current end goal, knowing that those goals will change over time. Get clear on your current goal, knowing that your goals will change over time. One of the mistakes that all of us make is that we think there's only one goal that you're pursuing, or that you just have to focus on one thing for the rest of your life, or that you have to somehow figure out at age 16 or at 23 or before you're 30, goodness sake, your purpose in life. Take the pressure off. Every one of us has more than just one epic goal in life, or destiny, or one epic purpose that you're supposed to fulfill. And all the stories of people that say that they knew what they were supposed to do when they were 5 or 12 or whatever may be true, but the carrying out of that purpose was all over the place for everyone. Everybody that you see as successful, or that you admire, your parents, mentors, people online, they all had to bump their heads against the walls and go from left to right and up and down to try to accomplish what they thought in the moment was their purpose in life. So take the pressure off and instead just get clear on what your current end goal is, knowing that it'll change from time to time. So what I mean by that is, ask yourself, okay, right now this is 2018, we're almost to June. What is your current goal right now? Is it to finish school? Is it to be married? Is it to learn a new skill? And try to, instead of having 10 goals, remember, think of the one end goal that's the most epic for the moment, and pursue that goal. So for me right now, I have a ton of things. As you know, most of us creatives, right? We have a million things that we want to accomplish. But for me, the number one thing right now, as in June of 2018, is to help my church reestablish itself. So when I look at my life and schedule and everything around me, as I said, there are a million things that I could make number one in my life. And maybe some of those will be number one in 3 months, or maybe in 6 months. But right now, I have to focus on what's in front of me and what is the main thing that will accomplish my goals, that is the assignment that God has given me, and most of all, that is a passion of mine. And for me, in this season, is to reestablish the church. So ask yourself right now, in June, let's say, of 2018, what is the thing that most of all, that is the thing that is the number one thing that you want to focus on? And you may start with a list of 10 things, but I want to encourage you to then narrow it down to 5, 3, and then just one thing. It doesn't mean that you are not going to do the other things. But when push comes to shove, you have to say, okay, what am I going to prioritize right now? Knowing, as I said, that this could change in 3 months. So maybe right now you're focusing on your health, on your fitness, because you may have gotten a report, or a medical report that said you have to lower your blood pressure. Or maybe you just feel like you're out of shape and you want to get a hold of your weight and your eating and your exercise. Make that your number one. Of course, you still have to go to work and sleep and whatever, right? Obviously. But when you have that, quote, free time, or when you could do a million other things, go to the gym. make that your priority, knowing that in 6 months or in a year from now, when you're feeling better about yourself physically, you will then be able to focus on another main goal. Okay, that's number one. Number two is set your schedule around your purpose, not your crisis. Set your schedule around your purpose or your goal, your current purpose, not your current crisis. Because all of us live in a very complicated world these days, there are crises all around. Fires that you have to put out at work, at home, at church, in your own personal life. Everyone wants something, right? You say, that is so true, right? I mean, but we can't do it all. So what you need to do is to, once you set your goal for the month or for this quarter, let's say, or even you may have an annual goal, then you want to then take your calendar or your app or whatever, however you do this, and set your schedule around your purpose, not your crisis. Your crisis may be very important. You might have you have a problem with a certain friend at work, and you're trying to work things out, but you know that that's really not your purpose, right? I mean, it's a crisis. It's an emotional response. You want to deal with it. It's always in your head or in your mind, and you feel bad or you feel like you could have done this or that. But if you think about it, that's not really your purpose, right? Your purpose, let's say, is to actually be in shape. So instead of focusing and giving time and energy to this person at work, which really obviously is just a waste of your time, instead focus on your body, going to the gym or getting that new pair of shoes so you can go for a run. Set your schedule around your purpose, not your crisis. The mistake that most people make is they do the opposite. They set their whole schedule unintentionally around their crises. And so what they end up doing is they spend days and weeks and months focusing on this crisis, and everything else gets put in the back burner. Set your schedule around your purpose. And be aware, maybe would be another way to put it, what is it that you're actually investing your time in? Number three, use what I call the 2-22 rule. It's actually three numbers, 2, the number 20, and the number 2 again. So it's not 2 and 22. Anyway, it's three numbers. So here's what I mean. The 2-22 rule is this. Spend 2 minutes with someone, spend 20 minutes with another person, and spend 2 hours with another person. So here's what I mean by that. So sometimes there are things that you just have to do, right? You're at work, someone walks into your office and they want a report. Well, instead of giving them 20 minutes or much less 2 hours, give them 2 minutes. All of us have to deal with interruptions and things that have to happen in life or things that you have to do. You have to get gas, groceries, you forgot your keys, you broke your phone, whatever, right? And so these things obviously take time and they're not a part of your purpose, right? Well, instead of ignoring them or instead of saying, oh no, now I can't go to the gym, instead think about things in according to this rule. Think about it and say, well, can I give this thing 2 minutes? 20 minutes or 2 hours, and categorize your life according to that principle. So if someone walks into your office and they're just a talkative type, you know, they're in between, I don't know, they're in their lunch break. And for you though, this is a time for you to work and get your things done. So they may have 2 hours, but you don't. You only have 20 minutes. You only have 2 minutes. So what you want to do is while they're talking, and this happens to me all the time, while they're talking, or maybe they're sitting down somewhere, make sure you have a clock behind them, or make sure you have maybe your phone on your desk, and just simply press go on your timer. And when that clock hits 2 minutes, then you just get up and you say, you know what, I need to go to the bathroom. And that will just stop that other person from dominating your time. Or maybe it's another thing. Maybe you do need to spend time with this person. Well, give yourself 20 minutes. They might be someone who needs a report and they want to go over it with you. Or maybe if you're a musician, it's a student that wants to ask you a question or wants to text you or call you about something. And You don't have 2 hours, but you know this will take more than just 2 minutes because maybe they are your student or they are paying you for something. So take 20 minutes to do that. Just in your mind, 20 minutes. Let's say it's 5 o'clock, 5:20, boom. About 5:15, you begin to, quote, get up from your chair, meaning you're saying, hey, I need to run. You know, I need to go to my next appointment. You know, has this answered all your questions? Just begin to hint at the fact that you're almost ready to wrap this up. I love how when I go to my therapist and it's about 45 minutes in, he'll say something like, well, for our last few minutes, let's do this. Or he'll say, we're almost out of time. Or straight up, he'll sometimes just say, we're out of time. Get the heck out of here, Drake. Use some of those phrases to kind of prompt the other person to basically not waste your time. Now, if something does require 2 hours, for example, let's say someone is in the hospital, which this is something that happens to me all the time. And I don't mean that you're going to spend 2 hours with that person in the hospital, let's say in my case, but you might, this situation, let's say someone's in the hospital, may require multiple visits. One visit would be 20 minutes, maybe the other one might be 45 minutes, the other one might be a full hour. And in total, they total about 2 hours. So you want to just simply think about that and say, you know what, this will take me 2 hours. Maybe not all at once, not all in one sitting, but maybe over 2 or 3 or 4 meetings, I have to give this person, the situation, 2 hours of my time. And why this is so important is because not everyone needs to be a 2-hour person. Not everyone should be a 2-minute person. This will hopefully help you to kind of gauge who you naturally are. If you tend to be very short with people, maybe you need to say, you know what, I think this may require more of my time. If you tend to be a sitting around kind of person and talking forever, you may want to analyze and cut down on that and say, you know what, 20 minutes are up. Okay, I need to get going here. Okay, that's number 3. Number 4 is always, always prioritize sleep, exercise, nutrition, and time with God, as well as with your family. So now, what I mean by this one is I'm not saying to basically throw everything out the window and just try to be perfect anyway. No, no, no. What I mean to say is that even in those busiest of times, let's say you have to work 80 hours at work a certain week, overtime, and there's just a bunch of projects, or maybe you have 2-3 jobs, and it ends up to be about 60 to 80 hours of work. Even during those weeks, the most successful people, from presidents to entrepreneurs to creative types, they always put, as they say, the big rocks first. In other words, if they know they have something to do at 8 a.m., they get up a little bit earlier to pray, to write their intentions out, to spend time with their wife, to maybe get off social media and to read a great book or listen to an amazing podcast. They may even go to the gym really quick or just go for a quick walk around the block. Successful people, they actually get more focused on fitness and nutrition during busy times, not less focused. Less successful people are the ones that they throw everything out the window, including their own health and fitness. So even though you might have a very intense season coming up, or maybe you're coming off of an intense season, obviously now most of us are wrapping up the spring term and school and work, and maybe you have a little bit of a break coming up, focus on the big rocks. Always focus on your relationship with God, your family, fitness, and nutrition. To me, those are the 4 things that matter most any day, any time of the week. And so ask yourself, how can I, in this next month, let's say June or this summer, how can I prioritize fitness, God, nutrition, those who I love? And make sure that those things are in there first, because if those things are in there first, then you will feel such a joy in your life. Everything will just seem and taste better, and you will be a much happier individual. Okay, that's number 4. And then number 5 is, this is a phrase that my wife always reminds me of, and this is it. This too shall pass. This too shall pass. I think if I can be honest with you, one of the things that I'm always challenge to believe is that this particular crisis will eventually come to an end. I'm growing in that. I used to be much more, not pessimistic, but what's the word? I don't know. I used to be more of maybe just feel like this is never going to end. I don't know what that word is, but I would come into difficult situations, for example, unemployment, when I was unemployed for a year. And after I go through my crazy push of doing everything that I can to get out of this mess, which was a good 9 months, 10 months, I remember I hit the wall. And then I thought, man, is this ever going to end? Is anybody what I'm talking about, right? It's such a human response, right? You work hard when you're in a crisis, and then you think, wow, nothing is changing. Like, is this ever going to work? Am I ever going to be out of this mess? And that's why this phrase, this too shall pass, is so important. Because you have to know that God is the one who is completing the work in your life, not you. You have to remember, like Ecclesiastes 3 says, that everything has a time and a place. Everything under the sun has a season. And those seasons come and those seasons go. I wrote a song that says, seasons come and seasons go, yet you're always dear. And that's such a important phrase to remember. Seasons come and seasons go. The season that you're in right now, whether it's a tough one or a great one, unfortunately, they come and go. Enjoy the moment. Look for the helpers, as Mr. Rogers always would say when it comes to crises. This too shall pass. Look for the positive. Look for the silver lining, even in your current crisis. When you can't have a balanced life, instead, pursue your God-given goals. And most of all, just simply pursue God. Let Him be the one who carries you through the seasons of life. Let Him be the one who shows up in miraculous ways in the middle of your crisis, your unemployment, your difficulties at work, or maybe some health issue. Let God do His part. Leave room for God. Let Him do something in your life that you could never do on your own. That's why the Bible always says that He can do abundantly beyond anything that you could ever imagine. Sometimes we think, oh man, my imagination is so amazing. I have such big dreams and such big visions. That's great. That's God-given. But make room, leave room for God's miracles, for God's signs, for His wonders, for His angels to appear and conquer death and conquer the enemy for you. And the way that we do that is by saying, Lord, You began this good work in me. You will perfect this in me. Lord, keep working in my life. I need You. I don't know what I'm doing. I have no clue how to figure this out. I have never been here before, but I know that You have. And I put my trust in You, knowing that You, who began a good work in me, will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Go some bell right there for that one. My prayer for you today, my dear friend, my dear Gozo Nation, Gozolandia, Gozo listener, Gozo Duende, living la vida gozo, viviendo la vida gozo. My dear friend, my prayer is that you will know that God is at work in your life. This too shall pass. Don't pursue balance, pursue God. Pursue the blessing of knowing Jesus. And your life will be a life of peace. You will live a life of grace, of creativity, not of balance or perfection, nope, but one of blessing, and most of all, as we call it here, a life of gozo. Thank you so much. I love you guys. Please make sure that you go to my website, davidtrigg.com/coaching. If you would like my one-on-one coaching, especially this summer, I have a sale going on. You can meet with me every week for 3 months, 12 weeks, for 25% off the regular price. 25% off. I have an awesome summer sale. You can meet with me, as I said, every week for 12 weeks. In 12 weeks, oh man, your life will be changed, guaranteed by the power of God. We can talk about relationship, career, entrepreneurship, creativity, conflict, mental health, anxiety. Those are my sweet spots, of course, technology, but really more in the areas of your own purpose in life, helping you discover who you are, finding grace in your crisis, living out your God-given adventure. That is what I can help you do. That's what I've been doing in my own life, help a ton of people through the years. And we have this sale right now, 25% off. We can meet for, as I said, an hour every week for 12 weeks, 25% off the regular price. Thanks again, everybody. I will see you next time. Adios.
Thank you for listening to The David Trick Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrick.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.